The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
This is the National Networker. Here's your host, Adam Kovitz.
Welcome to the National Networker Show. I'm your host, Adam J. Kovitz, and I am the CEO, publisher, and founder of the National Networker, as well as executive director of the Relationship Networking Industry Association, otherwise known as RNIA. And today we have a guest who founded an organization called the B2B Power Exchange to fill a networking void for business developers looking for introductions to senior decision makers at mid-sized and larger companies. He has specialized in expanding businesses' bottom lines for over a dozen years in a variety of marketing, management, and sales positions. He currently owns Legionnaires, a results-driven marketing agency. He previously served as vice president of business development at Kasner, where he generated new marketing and design projects with companies such as Intel, ACPAC, Tech Ventures Network, and CNC Group. He has also served as a business development consultant, vice president of marketing and sales for Flowtix Small Business Solutions, the director of U.S. and Canadian field marketing for Name Solutions Corporation, plus several marketing and sales positions for Cambridge Technology Partners, now part of Novell. He's a former board member at Business Marketing Association's Northern California chapter and is a former co-chair of the East Bay IT Group's Sales and Marketing Special Interest Group. He has spoken at SD Forum, eBig, ComArt, Tech Ventures Network, has been quoted and has had a recent article in the East Bay Business Times and appeared as a guest expert in the Northern California chapter of the Business Marketing Association's Copy Magazine. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Chris Pareja. Chris, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Chris, tell me about your background. What you obviously have sort of a marketing background, marketing and sales. Tell me a little bit more about how that sort of evolved into where you are now with B2B Power Exchange.
Well, basically, Adam, my background has been heavily in sales and marketing, as you mentioned, but a lot of the sales that I've been focused on over the last decade or so have been enterprise-level sales or selling to larger businesses, and kind of that's where B2B Power Exchange came from. I'd been out and did a lot of networking at chamber functions or other leads-type organizations that were out there, but I really wasn't able to find a place where people could network who were selling at more senior levels in companies, selling at a director level or VP or C-level contact. A lot of times the people I was meeting were great people. They just didn't understand what titles like those meant, or if I said I was looking for a director of marketing or looking for a VP of marketing, they really didn't have a whole lot to offer in terms of contacts, and I didn't have as much to offer to them in return. So I set out to form a group where people who were selling at those levels, and whether they were selling to human resources or the financial parts of companies or marketing or sales or executive teams, that they could connect, could be around other people who are looking at six-figure and larger gigs, and who they could really look at ways that they could either, you know, find new business opportunities or close new opportunities, or in a lot of cases deliver them collaboratively. So that's kind of where B2B was founded, from that kind of a thought process.
Okay, and when we first met, at the time, you started this in the Bay Area of California, Northern California, I'd say, and I think when you first appeared on the National Networker radar, you were just expanding into Southern California.
Yeah, so that was probably about 2 years ago, and the reality is we'd been plugging along since then. At the beginning of this year, we had nine breakfast meetings that were happening, and they were all in Northern and Southern California. But in December, when we rolled out our new model of also bringing in online meetings, we decided to really take things seriously and ramp up expansion. And so as of this month, I think we're at 35 of the breakfast meetings now nationally. We are on both coasts and filling in gaps in between. And we also have evolved to include an online format, which is gaining some international exposure as well.
Excellent, excellent. And to what do you attribute the rapid growth that you're suddenly experiencing now?
Well, I think as you already are aware, Adam, a lot of times we are in a very, by nature, networked kind of community. And so as people are hearing about the things that are happening and hearing that some of their colleagues are closing six figures, or in some cases we've had people closing deals that are over, you know, $750,000 in less than 2 weeks' time through our network, when salespeople or business developers, consultants, entrepreneurs get wind of these kinds of successes, their ears perk up and they start wanting to get involved, or they start referring us to their friends in other parts of the country or world. And that's really how we've more than quadrupled this year, and we're still only 10 months in.
That's fantastic. And who are the typical... I know you gave us a little bit of an idea, but who's your typical member, and why do they make the time and money commitment into B2B Power Exchange?
Well, what's interesting is our model is a little different than others in that we don't require people to be a member to attend. We do have people who pay as they go and will just pay to attend individual meetings, but then we do have people who look at membership, and we do have several different types of memberships, whether they're for individuals or actually we're set up now as well for corporate memberships, where, you know, inside sales organizations or numbers of people from the same sales organization can participate. But the reason that they participate, again, is the success that they're hearing some of the other folks have, the difference between us and the others, the other groups that are out there that don't really, a lot of them say they focus on business to business, but it's a lot of times smaller businesses and individuals selling to smaller businesses and individuals. We've got a lot of our folks that are focused, some are focused on small businesses, but some are Fortune 50 hunters or Fortune 500. But really, I mean, the reasons that they would plug in are varied. Either they're closing business and they're looking at new business opportunities, or they've, a lot of times consultants and salespeople are really bad about saying yes when they should say no, and then they have to figure out how they're going to deliver something. Well, they sometimes will come to our group to find those resources to deliver it. And then in some cases, they're coming because they just want to be able to chase bigger opportunities that they couldn't close on their own, so they come to make friends and chase things together.
Gotcha.
So it's a little different kind of approach as opposed to just a direct lead-sharing kind of environment.
So in other words, you're not necessarily looking and again, people come together, you know, for a lot of different reasons, right, when they network.
Right.
You know, it's not just for the sale. It's not just
right.
for the sale. I mean, I found, at least from my research, that they come together for collegial type relationships, best practices, just knowing who to talk to when it comes to specific areas of interest. So it sounds like you've kind of broadened that a little bit with B2B Power Exchange.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, one of the other things that makes us kind of unique in that regard is that we are really set up for people who are hunting business on a large territory basis. So, you know, there are situations where someone says, hey, you know, I need someone in, they might be based in Northern California, but they're looking for someone in Portland, or they're looking for someone in Arizona who fills a specific niche, and we're able to connect them with those types of people because we are very much about cross-pollinating and helping to develop those collegial relationships. And even when I was in larger corporations where they had professional alliance managers whose job it was to go out and make friends on a corporate level, nothing really got started unless there was a field-level interaction. And so that's really what we're trying to help people do, is to develop those relationships at the field level so that they can get what they need to done for whatever the reason and whatever their goal is, as you'd outlined.
Okay. So what can we expect in the future from B2B Power Exchange? What are your plans, your expansion plans at this point?
Well, they're pretty aggressive, actually. We actually have someone that's in India right now investigating whether or not it makes sense for us to go ahead and launch breakfast meetings in four of the major cities there. Our five-year goal is to be in 43 countries, to have 1 million annual participants and about 100,000 actual members over that next five-year span. So the growth goals are definitely aggressive. But based on the kinds of success we're seeing and based on the word traveling as quickly as it's starting to, we're pretty confident that we can make those goals happen.
Sure. Now, if I'm listening to this and I'm you know, in a part of the country that or a part of the world that that has not been mentioned, what would be the best way to get in touch with your organization?
Well, by email at info@b2bpowerexchange.com is probably the most universally acceptable way to get through, regardless of where they are, without having to pay phone charges. But they can visit our website and get more information as well at b2bpowerexchange.com.
And that's B2B with the number two.
The number two. If they did misspell it, it'll still get to us. But yeah, definitely be the number two, bpowerexchange.com is the best way.
Great.
To kind of get a feel for whether or not the organization's a fit with their goals. And then obviously we're looking for champions in other parts of the country or world, specifically in areas where we can put in 3 to 5 new meeting locations within a 6 to 9 month time frame, about 20 miles spaced from another one. That's what we found has been most effective in helping us to really solidify an area and get as much value for the local participants as possible.
Sure. Great. And yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit more about your decision to do some stuff online and what brought that on.
Well, basically, our decision was based partially on filling a void where we had people who were inquiring from other parts of the country, but where we didn't have the volume yet to make a decision to start a location there and have it get proper traction. But since then, it's actually evolved, and we've got some meetings that are specific to a local area or to metropolitan areas. But we've also found, really, that our interest that we've seen for interest-specific meetings has been surprisingly high. So, for example, when people want to get together with other people who are selling to IT decision makers or to business process decision makers, and they're actually, they may be from other parts of the country or they may serve a slightly different market and they want to collaborate with others like themselves, those have really taken off. But what's interesting about these meetings is they actually closely mimic the breakfast meetings, obviously, except for that we don't feed people. But what's nice is it's not like a normal chat room type of interaction or a bulletin board. They are actually interacting as they would if they were meeting in person. They're able to show each other deliverables or walk each other through one another's websites or PowerPoint presentations, take questions and everything in real time. And it's interesting how intimate the meetings can be. We've got people that have actually been trading some pretty big opportunities based on that rapport that they're building, which is different than trying to do something through LinkedIn or something where it's kind of a blind connection. It's more rapport building on a real basis.
And it's what I find interesting is that organizations like Meetup and yours are really finding ways. Other companies have made distinct stances on, you know, we're either online or we're offline. You know, and that,
right.
And never the twain shall meet. However, you know, Meetup and B2B Power Exchange seem to have embraced this hybrid model where we're going to take the best of both worlds and we'll have people meet online, but we're also going to do things elsewhere. And the fact, it sounds like you're using some Web 2.0 technologies to actually do the sharing online and to, maybe you can kind of give us an idea of the full extent of that, how that works.
Yeah, so, I mean, just on the first part of your content, the way that you outlined things,
I agree that there aren't many people who are going online and offline simultaneously. And my personal philosophy is that the online interaction can never be a replacement for that skin-to-skin, handshaking, looking each other in the eye kind of interaction.
Sure.
It's not either or. It has to be both. And so we look at the online meetings as an augmentation of the breakfast meetings, not as a replacement for them. But like, for example, when we've got people plugging in from the Ukraine or the Philippines to some of these meetings, they're doing it in a way that they can maintain the contacts that they've made in the States while they're outside of the States.
Yep.
And so it's obviously the best possible scenario is face-to-face, but if you can't be there, there are still ways to manage it where, I mean, personally, wherever you've got an internet connection, you can conduct the meeting. I've done our Northern California meetings from rental cars in Portland or airports in Chicago or what have you. So it is a nice way to stay connected with your folks without having to physically be there or when you're not able to physically be there.
Sure.
But the way that it works is we use a web sharing platform. We specifically are using GoToMeeting, but we trade control of the meeting, so everyone that's on the call actually gets the chance for 3 to 5 minutes or what have you to run their own webinar and really talk things through. So it does become much more collaborative, and the interaction is immediate as opposed to waiting for someone to respond to a blog post or through an RSS feed or that kind of thing. And those also are great technologies. We've just found that the more closely we can mimic a face-to-face interaction in the format that we normally do within our meetings, the more effective it's been for folks.
So let me ask you this: as you're going global with some of these, with some of your meetings, what do you find have been the biggest challenges in terms of bridging the gap between, say, cultures, language barriers, things along those lines?
The cultural and language barriers haven't proven to be a problem yet. We know that that will evolve as we get into non-English-speaking countries, because up until now, everyone that's participating is English-speaking, and they do spend some time in the United States. So they're used to those cultural norms as we experience them here. The bigger challenge has been that people who are traditionally very focused on face-to-face networking interactions have sometimes been a little bit technophobic or feel that they're intimidated by the technology and the interactions when it's not exactly face-to-face.
Do you think that's a generational thing, Chris?
I think it's partially generational, and I think it's partially just familiarity. I think that once people have experienced it and we've walked them through a demo and they see that really it is as easy as being able to talk and work your computer at the same time, which I think 90% of salespeople do on a regular basis anyway,
sure.
They find that it's not as difficult. I think it's just getting over that technology hump. It's just a situation where unfamiliar things aren't necessarily comfortable at first when you don't know what to expect, and once they get the expectation in line, then it becomes much easier. And we've actually had people that have started now to do business with their own clients online after they've seen how easy it is to do it themselves through the same platform.
There you have it. Well, Chris, we're gonna wrap it up, but I wanted to get a feel from you, like I do with all my guests, as to your current take. What do you think the future holds for the relationship networking industry, and what do you know? What's B2B, you know, Power Exchange's role in that?
Well, again, I think that the world is becoming increasingly smaller, and that networking has to be able to happen on a national or international basis, and it has to be more and more flexible to fit into people's schedules and what they're willing to do or not do. And since many of us have become so mobile and such moving targets, that generally, networking has to evolve to kind of keep up with that. And I think some of the more local face-to-face interactions, the more people use the web to generate new business opportunities, those things are going to have to evolve to accommodate their new business lifestyles.
Excellent. Chris, I have a lot of other questions I want to ask, but we're going to have to wrap up. Perhaps we can have you come back again and share your thoughts with us another time. But thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me, Adam.
I appreciate it. Feelings mutual. You've been listening to the National Networker Show. I want to thank our sponsor, Small Biz America, a great organization, David Wolf over there, who does the channel administration for the National Networker Show. Again, this is the National Networker Show. My name is Adam Kovitz, and we will talk again.
Thanks for listening to the National Networker. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.